ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It's another week, and we welcome you to the Sports Hangover. I'm Gus Kattengill. Should be a fun show. Controversy. Replays. Where we heard that before? Shame on those that used the Kentucky Derby finish to remind Saints fans what happened back in January. Did you see the Derby? Looking forward to getting your thoughts on it as well. So many people are talking about it. Oh, you know, it's first time in 145 years that the winner has been disqualified. We'll have a pair of individuals that love to get their takes on it. Catherine Terrell, you remember her from back in the day, here covered the Saints with TomSpeakUnola.com, is their Mike Triplett for ESPN.com with the Cincinnati Bengals, but also she loves horse racing, covered horse racing here at the Pick, covers horse racing for ESPN, and was there at the race, so who better to talk to about than someone that was there. Bernie Halperin helped us kind of handicap Friday the race. He wants to join the conversation at 12:30, give his take here as well. So 12:15, 12:30, a little Derby talk and getting their opinions. Want to hear from you here as well. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. If you'd like to give your take on it, do you think it's fair, not fair, lanes, not lanes, you're running around as fast as you can, is it realistic to think a horse stays in its quote-unquote lane and all this other stuff? I heard it this morning on Golic and Wingo as well. This 20 horses too much? Is it dangerous? All of this other stuff. So I'll get your opinion on it. I mean, there's a lot of people that that love horse racing. A lot of people love the fairgrounds and the horse racing season here as well. So I'll get your take on it. Look, I'm not a huge horse racing fan. I'm not a, I wouldn't know and look at something like that and say, aha, you know, that's clear. But the thing is, everything that I've heard this morning from people that cover the sport is that was a clear rules violation and it was the right call. So I know Jordan was going bananas. My phone was going nuts. I was judging a crawfish competition right when it happened over at St. Edward's, the Confessor. Thanks for having me. And no one could tell me what happened. All I kept getting was, wow, lots of boos. Jordan was OMG, the Derby. I'm like, what happened? No one told me what was going on. And all they kept saying was, you have to see it. You have to see it. I'm like, well, what happened? So, tell me what you think from it as well. So we'll get into that as well. NBA playoffs yesterday, two games took place. Raptors 76ers, Nuggets Trailblazers. And it was the Raptors beating the 76ers 101-96. Nuggets 116-112. And of course, this morning with the 76ers loss, it is first take, screaming A. And Max Kellerman, graphic on the bottom, is it too soon to trash and blame Joel Embiid? It's amazing sports media on that aspect of it, the way we are now. If a team wins, they're great. If a team loses, it's someone's fault. I mean, literally the graphic said, is Embiid to blame in the loss? I mean, the game before, the Sixers are going to the finals. Am I lying, Jordan, right? I mean, the other game before that, because the series is tied 2-2. When they went up 2-1, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty positive headlines, talking heads, the Sixers will win the East. They lose game four. Is it too soon to blame Embiid? Embiid is trash. The Sixers can't really win. I mean, it's unbelievable. One game changes that big a difference of your opinion. You know what I'm saying? It's a little odd. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And then tonight, got a pair of games going on. You can listen to them right here on ESPN New Orleans and Jordan. Bucks, Celtics, Milwaukee leads 2-1. Warriors, Rockets. Golden State leads 2-1. Both of those game threes were fantastic to watch on Friday, and more so because Jordan White.
I was wrong.
Oh,
I'll hand it to you.
Yeah, there we go. There it
good
is.
Job, Gus.
Nobody likes to get an applause more than me.
I will admit, here it I
is.
Was wrong.
Here it is. Wait,
you went 3-0.
Pat on the back
for the weekend, and I went 3.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the Celtics. I was, you know, doing it for Danny because of his
doing it for Danny
heart attack.
Yeah,
the Bucks destroyed the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
and then I said the Warriors were going to have a clean sweep against
clean
the Rockets.
Clean sweep.
But it looked like they went out to the club the night before. And
I could look. There's so much to get into both of those games here as well. 800-998-1003 if you're watching. But look, and I said it right in that series in game one, Bucks Celtics. Milwaukee lost at home, but I thought, look, this wasn't the Pistons. This was a good team in Boston. Bit of a wake up call, and then Milwaukee's looked like the better team. In games 2 and 3, what we've been talking about leading into the series and in the series with all the different people that cover the league, or the Pels that join us on the show is what we've been saying. We want this to go 6 or 7, or at the very least have games lost where you can probably non-fan wise go, boy, if they had AD, that's the kind of game that I needed to see, right? So Jordan and I are texting during the game back and forth. I'm like, here it is. This is ball game right here. Early fourth, late third when that run happened. I'm like, dude, it's it. It's done. I mean, the crowd's booing. They're worried about the calls. Milwaukee's going to the line. Giannis is unstoppable. You kept saying what?
Well, I mean, AD couldn't even stop Giannis.
We were going back and forth. I said, name me a matchup right now that favors Boston.
All of them, but the
Giannis. Which I disagreed and said none of them because none of them were – when I say matchups, I'm talking about when the stuff is hitting the fan, when the momentum is happening, when there's a run going on. This was one of the critiques of AD when he was here at times. Yet, and also with Gentry, with the Pels. The Pels were at their best last year during the postseason when they made their run. Jordan, remember when they had the lead or were making a run and did what? Attacked the basket. Didn't settle for jumpers. Threes. You're going to show up one day, they're all going in, or none are going in. I mean, that's the life of a three-point team, right?
I think I only saw Giannis shoot a three-pointer right. Once in the fourth quarter.
Bingo. What happened when the Celtics are making a bit of – and Milwaukee was trying to separate it. Remember I texted you? Timeout. You got two good timeouts from Budenheiser. Exactly. Correct. Celtics knocked the three down, T.O. And when I text you, I said, that's a great timeout. And then right after that, what did you see?
Giannis going to the paint.
To the hole, to the hole, foul and one, to the hole, foul and one, to the hole, foul.
Just keep the ball over your head and
exactly.
Lay it right in.
That's it. And when the Pels succeeded, when the Pels did well, that's what was the key. And that's what I'm saying. That's what favored it. Now, I'm with you. In the matchups we have seen in the past of AD and Giannis, AD and Embiid, AD and Rudy Gobert, he struggled against physical big men that are actually athletic as well. That said, again, remember, we're talking fan base. We're talking team that's looking at it. When I'm watching that series, you're waiting for Kyrie to sort of take over. At the same time, I still believe this. And again, it's just based off of the reports that you've seen and the people that cover these teams a lot better than we do. When he's ball dominant, Jason Tatum's
nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be found. So, who's that guy? Who's that person? Like, to your point, I get it. Look, Horford, will AD do that? I don't know if he would. The point is, on the offensive end, one way to keep Giannis from being as dominant is if you can collect fouls on him. That's something AD can do. Again, when he's physical and wants to attack, though. But, point is, it doesn't have to, because you're saying, can he do it? He doesn't have to. You have to get that other team to believe that he could when it comes to trade talk. See what I'm saying?
Correct.
That's what I mean. Because when that game was going on, late third, early fourth, Giannis here, Giannis there, Giannis everywhere. I text Jordan, here it is. There it is. There's the game. That's what you wanted. Yep. That's what you wanted. Because you knew that night, the next morning, over the weekend, this morning, WEEI and every other Boston station out there. Boy, if we had Anthony Davis.
Disclosure, I only saw you and one other person tweet that out.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else did,
no
huh?
one else.
Did you search?
I searched for it.
Oh, you did, huh?
I did. I said AD Celtics.
Uh-huh. Nobody, huh?
Nobody.
What was the number one storyline then after that game?
It was just, can the Celtics bounce back?
Can the Celtics bounce back? I don't buy it. You got a smirk on your face. All right, so. But I thought that was fun watching that series and game here. Again, must win for Boston if you ask me, right? Don't you think? Must win?
Must win.
Warriors-Rockets in that game three. So, my buddy Greg works for state police up there in Baton Rouge. He's just texted me, which is very rare that he texts me like during a game or something. Like, we'll chit-chat in between games every now and then. But he's texting me during the game. He goes, Klay Thompson's the worst defender. I don't think he could guard me. So he went full Jordan here and said that, you know, he could smoke Klay Thompson just like you could smoke Steph Curry.
I don't think Klay Thompson's bad at defending whatsoever.
No, he's their best defender. In the finals against the Cavaliers and stuff, he's been the best ball defender. But my point that I bring it up is if he's seeing that and thinking that, he must really be, I mean, what's going on? So I put it on and I'm watching and he just looks sluggish. He looks slow. Curry looked terrible. Like that entire team just looked either unfocused or our theory. They went out and hung out by the Galleria and just enjoyed themselves.
I mean, Curry was, his ball handles were on point as usual. I mean, he was breaking through
defenders. It couldn't hit anything. Nobody could hit anything. Klay Thompson just looked like he struggled to move on the defensive end. And look, at the end of the day, that is it's over game for Houston. They don't win that game. It's over. Like, don't bother showing up the next game. So they had to do that. And even still in that game, it was a tight game and a close game, and it could have gone either way. So you do see it. If the Warriors are in involved, what was the lasting thing of that game? Again, as I said, the lasting thing from the Bucks Celtics was, can anybody stop Giannis and could AD help? The thing I took from the Warriors Rockets was, why in the bleep did Kevin Durant not touch the ball in the final 3 minutes essentially of that game? Like, I couldn't for the life of me understand it. Thompson and Green and Curry are jacking up shots. Kevin Durant was smoking everybody. He was unstoppable. I mean, he's that matchup that I keep telling you that no one can have. Yet, for some reason, he didn't touch the ball late in the game.
He touched the ball. He missed a couple of close shots.
No.
In the paint.
No.
Yeah, he did.
No, under 2 minutes in overtime, he didn't touch the ball.
In regulation, he missed a couple clutch shots.
It's KD here, KD there, KD everywhere.
What I took from that is how much that team needs Andre Iguodala. When they're not playing well, because that
he was on the court, he was defending. He was defending Harden.
Now Andre Iguodala hit down a bunch of clutch three-point shots.
When they started winning championships, he was the key. But I mean, like I said, it was just, it felt like Kevin Durant wasn't involved nearly as much in that. Anyway, those are your two games tonight. So 6 o'clock TNT, 8:30 TNT. That's some good hoops. I mean, don't you feel like these are the best matchups right now going? I mean, Sixers, Raptors. I don't know. To me, maybe again, full disclosure, I'm invested in the Bucks Celtics because of the Anthony Davis possible trade. Right? I'm invested in Warriors Rockets because obviously I see the Nuggets and Trailblazers. I think they're nice teams. I don't think either can be Golden State. Do you? When you watch those two games? Like, you watch those two teams play, I don't see them playing Golden State.
I still think the Nuggets have a shot.
You think so?
Yeah, just because of the stamina that they have on that team. I mean, you saw the way they played.
I just don't see enough offense.
You saw the way they played in 65 minutes, what'd you call it? Jokic.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. I mean, it was like double overtime. No, I hear you. I do. Warriors present a ton of matchup issues. But, anyway, so it has been fun. And I get it. You know, if you're a Pels fan, you have no Pels to talk of. I get it. But I still think it has been sort of fun the postseason to kind of look around with the four teams that are left. Hour one of the Sports Hangover is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Feel free to give them a call. It's a free consultation call. When you go online, kinginjuryfirm.com, they'll take care of you. More importantly, you can just see if it's something that they can help you with. So give them a call. Go online. You can see all the different types of law that they practice and help you with as well. It's not just accident, injury. It's mass torts, maritime, offshore, the works. So if you think you need some representation on something, let's go ahead and give them a call. It doesn't cost you anything. Coming up, Catherine Terrell. She was at the Derby. We'll ask her what she thought. And Bernie Halperin, 12:30 as well. Still to come in hour two. Tiger fans, I want to hear from you. Are you concerned about LSU baseball? Marathon game yesterday, 19-15, the final against Ole Miss. They lose the series. And you remember Chris Blair on Friday said this is a series they had to have, they felt. And they didn't. Tulane fans, I'll hear from you as well. You feel you got robbed back on Saturday. I mean, when reports on Twitter say the home run was 10-15 for the, there was a ball 10-15 feet above the wall, and it's called not a home run. I need somebody to tell me that was there. What did it look like? I mean, I can't find a replay online. You know what I'm saying? So I need to know, do you think it was a home run or not? So
it wasn't.
You're saying no.
I saw it. It wasn't.
So you're saying it was a correct call.
It was a correct call.
Because everybody that was at that game, at least on Twitter, says it was clearly a home run.
Unless I saw something wrong and it was late at night.
I haven't seen it, so I want to hear from you Tulane fans as well. The Graf's been MIA. I texted him a few times and
he's a homer.
Well, I'm thinking that he's probably feeling it's a home run. I haven't got anything back. So Sports Hangover continues next with Catherine Terrell on ESPN New Orleans.
I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes two set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV, a better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover at @Cats_Terrell is the way to follow. Catherine Terrell covers the Bengals for ESPN.com. Also a little horse racing as well. She was there at the Derby. Catherine, how are you this afternoon?
A little tired, but doing well.
I guess you start with the obvious, right, Catherine? It's the title of your piece there on ESPN.com. What in the world happened at the 2019 Kentucky Derby? It's a great headline because it pretty much is the question everyone's asking. So I guess from your perspective, the race is going on. There it is. It's happening. Well, just take us through your point of view.
Well, it was raining most of the day, so I actually went up to the grandstand and the turf course, which is where I usually watch the race. So I had a really good vantage point of what happened, even though it was far away and I couldn't see who it happened to. But as they were coming around the turn, it was very clear that one of the horses had come out and interfered with another horse as he drifted away from the rail. I mean, from where I saw it, I actually thought that the horses were about to go down. That's how bad it looked. Mm. And so when they actually crossed the wire, I looked at the person next to me and I said, there has to be an objection coming here. And it actually didn't come for 3 or 4 minutes. So they finally announced it. And so I went down to the meeting room and waited with a bunch of other reporters who, by the way, have been covering this race for years. They've seen everything. And when it went up on the TV 22 minutes later that they were taking him down, Max Security, the winner, a lot of the reporters gasped. It was very surreal.
You know, Catherine, that's why I wanted to have you on, because it's one thing to look at it on a television camera, slow-mo replay, and kind of zoom in as you can now and look at it. You always hear a lot of times when replays involve real time in judging it. So that is interesting you just said, though, in real time. You could clearly see it. You can see that. Now, to that point, so much talk's been staying in it. Look, you've been to races, you've covered, you love this sport. How staying in lanes, keeping the horse in a certain area, I mean, is that reasonable? Is that something that you can do? Is that something, as I heard this morning, it's the jockey's job to do?
Well, yeah. I mean, every day, racetracks across the country, it's not so much as you have to stay in one lane once you break from the gate. Obviously, that doesn't happen, but they are required to maintain a reasonably straight path, meaning if you're going to come over, then the horse behind you needs to have enough room to react. Otherwise, you run the risk of what's called clipping heels, which is actually what almost happened to Maximum Security and the horse behind him, which is when the front hoofs of the horse behind him, like, tangle with the back hooves of the horse in front, and that can be very dangerous. It can cause horses to go down, riders to get thrown. I mean, if that had actually happened, it would have been a complete disaster on national television. So they're very lucky that it wasn't more serious than it was.
Do you think it was the right call, and it's one that needed to be made?
Yeah, and I said that since before they posted the results. I said the horse needs to come down. I mean, I get it. It's the Kentucky Derby. It's an incredibly hard decision to make, and the stakes are very high. But, yes, I mean, the horse came out 3 or 4 paths, if you will, into the path of another horse and almost caused a massive collision. So, I mean, yes, I do think he should have been taken down. I think it was the right call.
Catherine Terrell of ESPN.com was at the Kentucky Derby. You know, one of the things, obviously, that everyone is talking about, obviously, after this, too, is what can you do moving forward? Do you think sweeping change or replays can do anything? Or I mean, look, first time in 145 years, I think I would look at it like that, right, and say, look, it's this instance.
Right. I think people are massively overreacting. I mean, this set of stewards thought that this is the appropriate result for this race. I highly doubt this means all of a sudden that we're going to scrutinize future Kentucky Derbies differently. Honestly, I would almost think the opposite, that next year and years going forward, the stewards would be reluctant to take a horse down. It's just because it obviously created a massive controversy, and there's probably going to be some sort of legal battle that ensues because of it. So it's not a decision that they took lightly. I mean, that's why it took so long. It's a hard decision to make in a race this big.
You know, when you look at it as well, this morning on the Today Show, the owner of Maximum Security said, you know, not doing the Preakness, you're going to appeal as well. What can you appeal? What can that process be for Maximum Security?
Well, I'm not really sure, because the regulations of the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission have, it has this passage that essentially says,
all calls stewards make are final and cannot be appealed. So, and not only that, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission director came out and backed the stewards the other day with an interview with another reporter. So they're behind them. So I can't see the Racing Commission actually listening to this, which would mean you would have to go above them and go to court. And yet I don't see how that would play out because this is a subjective decision that occurred in the sporting event. Honestly, I really don't know what happens going forward. So it'll be interesting to see it play out.
When you look at it at the end of the day, obviously that sort of finish, do you think it takes away? And I mean, is that even a silly question to sort of say that? Or did you think it still was a good race? And obviously for the eventual winner, Country House, I mean, 65-1, somebody had a good Saturday afternoon.
Well, I mean, I can see all sides. I do think it's very unfortunate because it's clear Max talented horse, and he was undefeated. So, you know, going forward, if he wins a bunch of races, there's always going to be that what if. And yet, on the other hand, I feel like it kind of displays the weird and crazy history of this race. They're going to talk about it forever. I mean, there's only been one other qualification, and that was in 1968 due to a failed drug test, and that's always been a kind of weird quirk in the race's history. So, more people will talk about this race in years to come than if Maximum Security had won it, of course, provided he didn't go on to win the Triple Crown. But I think it's interesting.
Catherine Terrell, ESPN.com, covered the Kentucky Derby there. And, of course, also he covered the Cincinnati Bengals. I got to ask you before we let you go, Catherine, what did you think of their draft?
I actually thought they drafted pretty well, but they went absolutely nuts. And they took a tight end in the second round that everyone thought was a reach. As you know, on draft day, everyone has an opinion, and I just will be interested to see how the guy actually plays, but I liked their first-round pick. But, you know, of course, I did predict that's who they were going to take.
Oh, there you go. There it is. Pat on the back.
Got to pat myself on the back.
Ryan Finley taken in the fourth round, North Carolina State's QB there. You and I have talked about before when we bring you on to talk about the Bengals, the love-hate relationship with Andy Dalton there. What was it like when he was drafted here? Are Bengals fans ready to see the Finley era?
Well, I think a lot of Bengals fans have been ready to see anyone but Andy Dalton for a long time now. But I just keep saying this. The team doesn't see it that way. They think Dalton played really well last year at the end of the season when everyone was healthy and he's their guy, which is why they didn't take a quarterback first round when Haskins was still there. They didn't take one in the second round. I mean, I just think that they are willing to give them another year under an offensive-minded coach. He has a really good quarterback coach, obviously, that worked with Aaron Rodgers. So if it doesn't change this year, he doesn't take a huge step forward, well, then you go into contract year, and it's a different story. But right now, it's still the Andy Dalton there for a while.
Final question for you, and this is for Joey over in our studios. What is it like going into a season where the Browns have the excitement in the AFC North? I mean, that's right. The Browns are predicted to win 8-9 games. They have all that excitement, everything that they did in the offseason in the free agency moves. They got yourself a Tiger as well there in Greedy Williams. The Browns, Catherine, are the exciting team to watch in the AFC North.
I know. It's crazy. But, yeah, just keep thinking about all these teams over the years. Big free agency, and we're total flops, like Tampa Bay and what was it, 2010? I might have that year wrong. So I'm a little skeptical. I actually think they're going to be a lot better. I mean, they were decent last year. I think they're going to be good this year. I'm not going to make the leap to Super Bowl winners, which some people are, but I am excited to watch them. They're fun. They're so good. It's a kind of team that even if you don't cover that group of teams, you kind of have to sit there and watch them.
There it is. Catherine Terrell, ESPN.com, covers the Bengals, a little horse racing as well, giving us her take on the Kentucky Derby. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
For sure. At Cat underscore Terrell. The way to follow over on Twitter. Three of the first four games, by the way, for Cincinnati on the road at Seattle. Hosts the Niners at the Bills, at the Steelers, the way they start their season. If you want to go a little bit further than that, host Cardinals at Ravens. So a lot of road games, early portion of their schedule. Joey, you hear that, huh? Somebody that covers that division to have the Browns. Excited to cover the Browns, she said, Joey.
Yeah.
Excited to cover the Browns.
I can't
we'll take
wait.
A quick break. When we come back, Bernie Halperin will join us to give us his take on what he's thought from the Kentucky Derby. Again, the one thing I take from that conversation with Catherine, she was there, saw it in person. She said as she saw it take place, she felt it was something that they should object to. So we'll talk a little about it when we come back. Don't forget, Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. Been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Ouch. That's the third travel of the night. Normally, I get on this guy's case for being a complete numbskull. But tonight, I'm chilling.
Stephen A., what's gotten into you?
I know. Usually, I'd be off on a rant right now, but I gotta tell you, this Vivid Seats thing has got me completely changed. Tickets are 100% authentic, and I got these great seats yesterday on the Vivid Seats app. Stress-free, you know.
Wait. What are you doing? You put mayo on my hot dog? What's the matter with you?
There's the old Stephen A. we know.
Want to know my secret to make a great-looking lawn last even longer?
All it takes is a second feeding of Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. With a simple second feeding, your lush lawn is here to stay. Because a second feeding of Scott's reinvigorates lawns by providing nutrients, which helps prevent browning and withering as the weather warms.
My green grass isn't going anywhere.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food today.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Attention drivers, spring is here, and along with sun and warmth, you can expect post-winter road hazards like potholes, uneven pavement, springtime showers, and an increased number of cyclists and pedestrians. Did you know that 2018 was the deadliest year for pedestrians since 1990? This spring, slow down on wet roads, avoid potholes, and stay on the lookout for pedestrians and cyclists. For more driving safety tips, visit driversed.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Jerry Bailey, NBC Sports on the Derby.
Talking about to keep it straight. It's like driving on a turn in a car right next to you. If you don't stay in your lane, you're going to bump into the car right next to you, and that's exactly what happened in the Kentucky Derby, and it was Luis Saez, the jockey of Maximum Security's job, to keep his horse straight, especially since there was another horse right on his hip. And that didn't happen, and that caused, number one, long-range Toddy to check up. In fact, he could have easily clipped the horse's heels and fallen, and in turn causing number 18 to check up as well. Now, number 20 really had very little to do with anything. He got the slightest of grazes, yet he is the one that claimed foul, and probably smart by his jockey, Flavien Prat, to make sure the stewards were actually looking at it. And once they did, it's like a collateral penalty. Maybe the first penalty didn't happen, but once the officials look at it, they saw another penalty. That's kind of what happened here.
All right, so we just finished speaking with Catherine Terrell of ESPN.com. She was there. She said she saw it clearly from the stands as it happened. Bernie Halperin, you joined us on Friday to handicap the Oaks and the Derby. I guess just your overall opinion on what you saw take place on Saturday evening.
Well, you know, Gus, it was the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby, and the 144 editions before this never had a horse who crossed the wire disqualified from first. So it was certainly historic. I heard Jerry Bailey's assessment of what happened on the audio clip that you played before I took the air, and I agree with Jerry Bailey. It's unfortunate, Gus, because Maximum Security was clearly the best horse on Saturday. He made the lead in the race. He faced tremendous pace pressure with fractions of 46 and 3 for the half mile, and he showed tremendous courage and tenacity. It was a heroic performance by him from an athletic standpoint to cross the wire first, and they weren't catching him. He was actually pulling away. He passed the wire by a length and three quarters ahead of the second place horse. Now, with that said, if that were a $20,000 claiming race at the fairgrounds on a Thursday afternoon, they would have disqualified Maximum Security in about 2 to 3 minutes. It wouldn't have taken very long for the stewards to say, hey, he veered out, he bumped into War of Will, he caused War of Will to check. War of Will then had a chain reaction and caused Long Range Toddy to check even more sharply. It was a very dangerous situation, Gus. So in the end, I can see both sides of the argument. I think the stewards, by the textbook, by the letter of the law, made the correct ruling. At the same time, it's a very bittersweet win for Country House because nobody that saw that race thought he was the most talented horse that day.
Speaking with Bernie Halperin, so you too also feel it was the right call then?
Well, you know, by the letter of the law, I mean, I've been around horse racing over 30 years, Gus, and I've seen a lot of controversial takedowns. I've seen horses taken down for less than that, and I've also seen horses not disqualified that have done more than that. So it was really a true judgment call. I think it took tremendous courage by the stewards to make the call. And the reason it took 21 minutes, not only was it difficult to decide, yes, we should take him down, no, we shouldn't disqualify him, but the other thing they had to consider was they had to review the videotape. In horse racing, when a horse commits a foul and is disqualified, that horse has to be placed behind the horses they affected. So Long Range Toddy, who was right in the thick of things at the top of the stretch, after he got bumped by War of Will, who was cut off by Maximum Security, Long Range Toddy checked so sharply. And when you check, that means you kind of stop running and you pull up. That happened so severely to Long Range Toddy that he faded all the way back down to 17th place. And so they had to put Maximum Security behind Long Range Toddy because Maximum Security's actions on the racetrack caused the chain reaction that caused Long Range Toddy to fade so badly. So it was very, very unfortunate, Gus. Usually when you see a horse disqualified in a race for bumping in the stretch or for traffic problems, sometimes they'll be taken down from first and placed second or maybe placed third. But boy, to be placed 17th in a race that you were the best horse on the racetrack for is very, very disappointing for Gary and Mary West, the owners of the horse. They've been around horse racing a long time. They've owned some great horses, and they're very unhappy with the decision. They're actually appealing the decision. Now, it's kind of like we in New Orleans can relate to when the pass interference call wasn't called in the NFC Championship game, and the Saints, you know, appealed it to the league, and Frank D'Amico Jr., the local attorney, filed a lawsuit against the league, and we knew all of that was going to lead to nothing. And much like that, Gary West appealing this, I think it's just for the fact of showing some frustration and venting a little bit. They're not going to make any change to the order of finish. And because of this, horse racing has been robbed because now Gary West said they're not going to run Maximum Security in the Preakness because since he has no chance at the Triple Crown, why should they risk a beautiful racehorse like that by rushing him back in 2 weeks? They're going to give him a break now and probably maybe consider the Belmont for him.
I was going to say that. That was going to be my next question. Speaking with Bernie Halperin, talking a little bit about the fallout from the Kentucky Derby. Is that the biggest thing taking out of here, obviously, other than the decision? But the fact that he came on this morning on the Today Show, and he's like, yeah, I'm out. We're not doing the Preakness.
Well, here's the thing. So there's a couple of aspects to it. First of all, he's very ticked off, and rightly so. Any owner would be disappointed in, you know, thinking that you won the world's most prestigious and important horse race, and then all of a sudden, 21 minutes later, you're 17th. So he's kind of got the attitude of, I'll take my toys and go home, and throwing a little bit of a tantrum, which I understand. But at the same time, the other side of that equation, Gus, is rushing a three-year-old horse back in 2 weeks for another race after a grueling race in the Kentucky Derby. It's very challenging. It's very trying on the horse. And if you don't have a chance at the Triple Crown, like Gary West says, we're not going to risk our precious investment. You know, horses are very fragile, Gus. If you can give a horse 4 or 5 or 6 weeks between races instead of two, it's a smart move when you can do it. And since they're not going for a Triple Crown, I agree with Gary West. I think it's a smart management move for the horse.
Two final questions for you. One that I hear a lot of people Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday, and this morning nationally on ESPN. The question, is this good or bad for horse racing? I'm going to go on the good on this aspect of it, Bernie. I've learned more about little rules or things of that nature, or, you know, things. Sports being talked about a lot longer other than just who won. And more importantly, it was going to lead me to asking you, how often does this happen? Because it seems like something that would make a lot of sense. I mean, you have, it's not a steering wheel, man. I mean, you have horses kind of, there's momentum, they're animals, and you're trying to control them,
yeah.
Which kind of, you know, gives you a little bit more into the job of a jockey and how hard that really is. But at the end of the day, those guys are holding on and riding for dear life, and you're just hoping that they can somewhat control. So I think, to me, from that aspect of it, it's brought and shed to light, Bernie, just how important the jockey is, just how hard that really is, and, you know, how dangerous it could be, or, you know, should they have 20 horses on the race? Point is, all that talk, I guess, brings horse racing to the front.
Well, yeah. Well, so Gus, there's a, you know, an old saying in the advertising business,
right.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. We've right. all heard that before. So horse racing certainly is being seen right now under a microscope, and I think it's good for people to be tapped into horse racing and knowing that it exists, because our sport is looking for more fans and for younger fans. So it's unfortunate that the type of scrutiny that it's getting is about such a controversial disqualification. It was very historic, like I said, had never happened in 144 previous runnings of the race. But with that said, to answer a couple of your questions, first of all, disqualifications do happen in horse racing. That real estate out there is precious, and when you're trying to make a winning move with the horse, you're typically trying to take the shortest path you can to the wire, so everybody wants to save ground, and a lot of times those horses are bumping, and the jockeys are going for that same precious real estate. The other thing I'll say is this. As a horse player and as a gambler, a lot of times if I bet on a racehorse and the jockey doesn't ride the horse the way that I think, I'm a little bit overly critical of the jockey, and I'll be like, oh, God, why did you ride the horse that way? But in the end, Gus, those guys weigh an average of about 110 to 115 pounds, and they're riding an animal that weighs between 1,500 and 2,000 pounds.
Right.
They only have so much control. They are extremely courageous to get up on horseback and to ride those horses, especially in a 20-horse field on a sloppy track. I really can't fault Luis Saez too badly for what happened. He was trying to steer the horse. The horse got out a little bit. It looked like he slipped a little bit on the wet surface. It's very unfortunate. Let me say, Luis Saez is probably one of the best five jockeys riding in the world today. He's a tremendous difference maker on a horse. I feel very badly for him. I feel very badly for Gary and Mary West. I feel very badly for Jason Service, the trainer. But at the same time, by the letter of the law, you can understand how they made the call, because when Maximum Security veered out, he caused War of Will to almost clip heels. And when horses clip heels, that means they get their legs tangled. And when that happens, typically several of them go down, and jockeys have lost their life in those kind of incidents. So the stewards have to be very mindful of that and make sure that they protect the jockeys. And when they make a disqualification like this for rough riding, or what they consider to be reckless or aggressive riding, they do it for the safety of the jockeys overall. So it's a really bittersweet thing. Again, Gus, the best horse was Maximum Security. He ran a valiant race, and unfortunately, he didn't get to wear the bed of roses that the winner gets, and Country House was put up. There's nobody that saw any of the prep races, Gus, that thinks Country House is anywhere near as good of a horse as Maximum Security. Mm-hmm. Even War of Will at the fairgrounds in two races drilled Country House twice. So Country House was just lucky to be on the outside. He was away from the traffic. It was a closer's track that day, so closers were doing very well. And everything, the planets just aligned for Country House, and he and his ownership and the connections got very lucky to win the Derby.
Bernie, I can't think of anybody that could have explained what took place on Saturday better than what you just did in the last 15 minutes. That was beautiful.
Well, my pleasure, Dustin. I look forward to talking with you before the Preakness. We'll have some
new
shooters in there, and we'll try. Yeah, a couple of weeks, I'll be back in touch, and we'll get back, and we'll try to help the bettors. My pick, Tacitus, ran a non-threatening fourth. He was put up to third. He ran a very good race. A 20-horse or a 19-horse field, as it turned out this time, Gus, is such a complex equation. It's very difficult to pick a winner. So I'm proud of Tacitus, and I think we'll see better things from Tacitus going forward.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bernie. I look forward to talking to you
all
soon,
right,
man.
Gus. Okay, buddy. Have a great day.
Yeah, bye-bye. For sure. 800-998-1003 if you want to give your opinion here as well. Look at here. I'm starting to get used to this, Jordan the intern. Look at this. Who we got in the studio?
Oh, Mr. Rafael Esparza.
Mr. Rafael Esparza again, huh? Just hanging out. Actually, it has nothing to do with wanting to be here.
What do you want from us?
Yeah.
Why are you here again?
Yeah, what happened?
I actually forgot something.
He forgot his laptop cover in studio from last week. I thought it was just to see us again, you know, say hi.
The most important thing I forgot is my Wi-Fi, backup Wi-Fi is in here.
The air card.
I should have taken that.
I know we could have made a little,
sold it.
A little side money on that. Jordan,
I thought for sure I was going to lose power on Saturday. I'm like, I don't have a backup. They'll do any work. I'm like, oh, I might have to hang out with the wife.
Yeesh. You know what? While you're here, we're going to put you to work. We'll take a quick break. We'll get your take on it because I'd love to know what Vegas thought about something like that. Because obviously,
there was controversy this weekend.
You heard Bernie bring it up, and you saw the memes, the gifs, the parallels to the Saints. Vegas gave money back in that instance with the Saints and Rams. So I want to hear your take from what it's like from the wise guys when something like this happens. It's never happened. 145 years, it's never happened. So let's talk about that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover. As Hour 1 is always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Brian Clark here, our colleague, a former Pittsburgh Steeler.
There has been no current teammates that have come to defense of Ben Roethlisberger when Antonio Brown kind of took off on him publicly. Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't. I'm a huge fan of Ben. Ben earned some currency with me that not many people can. Leading is not natural for Ben. You see quarterbacks of teams and you think, okay, this is a guy that's going to protect and take care of players publicly and privately. That's not Ben. He's been trying to learn how to lead on the run. And you know, some of these guys have been thrown under the bus during his weekly show. Some of these guys have been talked to in the building and in meetings about anthem protests in ways that quarterbacks or just people in general shouldn't talk to other people without getting punched in the face. And so to say that I'm surprised that nobody came to his defense, I'm not.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Rafael Esparza is at VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow over on Twitter. Came by to pick up his laptop cover. Now we're putting you to work. It is interesting, though, we're speaking with Charlie, we're speaking with Catherine, Bernie. Seems like people that love the sport watched it live, saw it happen and saw something that took place there. And again, you're hearing a lot of this lately, safety and what could have happened. It could have been worse. I mean, we've seen before in one of the races of the the Triple Crown, where a horse got put down on the track. Yep. I mean, just some really horrible things that you had to do. And that's what I keep hearing people say a lot this morning, that, man, it could have been really bad.
Yeah, it's all about safety. I think that's why they changed it. I think they had to make that step. I mean, I hated it. I would have hated being that not in that steward's room saying, like, we're taking this horse down. I mean, can you imagine what's the conversation? I think that's what took so long. Right. Because normally, boom, 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 ready to go. They talk to jockeys, stewards down, decisions up, we're ready to go. I think it took so long because this is the Derby. I would hate to be in that room. What the discussions were after they got off the phone with the jockeys.
So you're talking prestige, obviously, in the horse and race industry is what it is. I mean, that is the race. Mm-hmm. Everyone, you know, you got to win that one before you can go on to the Preakness and Belmont. But B, you're Vegas. I mean, you aren't here as Mr. Vegas for a reason. That sport is built on wagering. I mean, that's what it is. That's why they run the track, right? Wagering. That's what you do. So anytime there's money involved, it is an important decision. I mean, you look at the Saints-Rams game, which a lot of people are bringing up here as well.
What happened there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there was some money being wagered off that, but that game itself, you know, you're moving on to the playoff thing. But no, this is like, money was affected by that decision, and I have to imagine that's probably one of the long reasons it took, or one of the reasons it took so long, 21 minutes to decide, because, again, you realize when you're doing that we're not talking just about the $1 million purse. We talk about all the tickets that have been, you know, disposed. So from that perspective and vantage point to you, what is something like that like for y'all?
After the Saints game and after the Derby, $9 million was pretty much an exchange of what could have happened.
$9 million.
$9 million was not the difference in the Saints
Rams
game. We're talking, because it's funny how I was scrolling through social media after the race, when I was watching the fights and doing all other stuff, and all the books had something to do with it. That's why we have nothing to do with that, because it's all parimutuel. It's all one big pool goes into Churchill Downs, into the parimutuel track. We have nothing to do. We probably would want maximum security, because we'd have probably got a better percentage of money coming into each book. But the books had nothing. This is all parimutuel. It all had to do with Churchill Downs and the stewards. And so people are like, oh, the books had something to do with it. They stole all our money.
Saw a lot of that on my social media. Vegas was loving this. I mean, when something like that happened, you're talking about $9 million changing hands and money. I know one of the stories that came out where there were some books that said, hey, look, we don't feel comfortable with this with the Rams Saints, and they gave money back. In an instance like this, I'm trying to think of something else that's been precedented like this. I mean, Saints-Ram games is one thing because you never really see that given back. But here, it's whether or not you win or you lose on both sides.
Yeah, it's different. Like if you purchase a football ticket compared to a race ticket, you can say, okay, you know, we're going to refund these football tickets, Saints-Rams. In horse racing, you can't, because once the track posts those odds, it's done. It's final. You can't go back if you're in Vegas or at Biloxi or anywhere that does off-track betting. You can't say, hey, we're going to refund the bets. No, once Churchill Downs posts all those ticket scores of $2, whatever the horse paid,
right,
it's final. You can't refund. I mean, you could hand pay and do customer service that way. But can you imagine doing all the tickets that was purchased on that one? Now, I did hear some books refund head-to-head matchup bets that we talked about on Friday. Some of them say, hey, you know what, if you have maximum security on a head-to-head matchup, we'll refund. Because that's the book. The book was responsible for that. We booked these ourselves.
I got you.
Here's your $10, whatever you placed on that. But not the track itself, too bad, too sad on getting that refund.
I think it's interesting from that standpoint just to hear how that sort of happens, because race goes off. I'm sure you're at it. You're working in Innix, and you know, you're waiting just like everyone else to see what happens. And, you know, I've always, I guess, been under the guise of, hey, 65-1, people would love that stuff. But you know the odds. You saw the money coming in. How many people actually had a country? I mean, how many people won?
I mean, people did win. It's funny. I talked to, I'm going to give a shout out to the MGM Race and Sports Book Director in Las Vegas, Lamar Mitchell. Talked to him right after the fight, or right after that, about maybe a half hour after all that. He said there's a bunch of people waiting to cash that ticket on maximum security. Exactas, tries. Once they disqualified him, he said he maybe cashed maybe 5-6 tickets that people had. Just maybe $2 here or a head-to-head matchup. For, like I said, for compending that, it could have been a long cash out. Went to a no cash out after that switch.
I failed to ask Catherine and Bernie, so I won't with you. Not that I forgot, but obviously the Derby was a huge story. The Kentucky Oaks winner, though, Serengeti Empress, Tom Amos's horse here locally. How big was that for him to win that on
Friday?
That
was huge. I mean, what a great ride he had. I didn't have him in any of my Kentucky because I thought he was going to maybe get bunched around in the middle and maybe fade. So the jockey ran a perfect race. Hats off to him. Congrats, because like I said, I didn't think he would be able to do it just because the way he was set in on his post position. I was totally wrong in that one, but congrats on Amos.
How does that help moving forward?
Oh, huge. I mean, to have the Kentucky Oaks in your resume, I mean, that's going to be huge. He's got a lot of big plans now.
Nice. Nice. I like seeing that as well. Obviously, with the local ties here again. I mean, the Fairgrounds has such good local ties when it goes to it. I mean,
it was sad to see not a horse from Fairgrounds representing the Kentucky Derby this year.
Yeah. Got to ask you quickly, because I like the two games tonight, and more importantly, it's just another opportunity to pat myself on the back from my games that I called on Saturday and Friday, because Jordan the intern's telling me I'm number one, as you can see.
What did I say on Friday? Yeah. I was perfect 4-0 on NHL and NBA.
Look, I saw it, but tonight, Bucks, Celtics, Warriors, Rockets, this was the Friday matchup again here as well. Obviously, if I'm thinking AD trade, right, do I want Boston to win tonight? Because, I mean, this is, you have to if you're Boston. This is a must win. And for the Rockets, that game three was don't even bother showing up game four if you didn't. And I still think the Warriors went out the night before. Klay Thompson looked like he couldn't guard anybody. Curry, I mean, they just didn't look themselves. But, and it was still a close game. Bucks, Celtics, Warriors, Rockets tonight.
I have Celtics. I got both home teams. But an interesting story, a text that I got driving here about the Clippers, about maybe KD re-signs with Golden State and Klay goes to Clippers. I think the NBA is ready for, okay, Golden State, we all know they're going to be blown up. And we and you had this discussion. I think KD stays and Curry is his Batman and Robin. And I think Draymond Green and Klay go bye-bye.
What's interesting is Adrian Wojnarowski this morning on Get Up, and I'll pull it up next hour. There's a soundbite where he's, what was the word? Not catastrophic, but it was, he said, big time changes were coming to Golden State, that everyone, that they've pretty much gotten together and said, look, it is what's going to happen July 1st. Let's focus, try to do something that doesn't normally happen and three-peat. And then, but the understanding is they're breaking up one way or another. But for Wojnarowski to come out this morning and say, look, it's happening. It's going to happen. They're just trying to make sure they can get the three-peat and then put their differences aside. But it's going.
Yeah, ESPN, ABC, and the Mouse are going to have Golden State Houston go seven games. So that's why I have.
Oh, here we go.
That's why I have. That's why I have Houston winning today.
The Mouse is fixing the game.
The Mouse is fixing. If they can't have gambling in Florida, the Mouse is fixing games for TV ratings.
I'll say this: when you look at the marathon games here as well, when you look at Nuggets and Trailblazers, I said this earlier to Jordan, and I'll get your takes here. Can any of those teams beat the Warriors? I don't see the amount of offense that you would need.
I think the only team, and this is going to be based on their bench play, which they have had not good bench play, is Denver. I mean, Denver had a really good bench coming into the playoffs, and it's been quiet.
Okay.
Portland, it all depends on Lillard. If he gets hot, I think he can. But if Curry can get out of his funk, we're looking for a Bucks Warriors.
Raptors beat the Sixers yesterday.
Kawhi, what a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was unbelievable watching him.
He's launching threes from the right wing above Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, that was but you could tell Joel Embiid was not 100%. He just looked sluggish.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. Look, at the same time, you got to remember, this is where, that's why these series, and they're so long, there's a lot of talk, and I have a soundbite I'll play later on. It's 10 seconds. Should they have an NBA shorter season? That story's picking up steam over the weekend because of what you saw with the Warriors, with Embiid. People are saying, you're just tired. It's a long season. By the time you get in the postseason, you're trying to maintain rather than really excel.
No, conference finals and NBA finals, seven games. The rest of them, five-game series. How about that?
I'm with you on that, but what about the length of the regular season?
That doesn't bother me. So, there's too much money. They can't shorten it. There's too much money.
That's what everyone's saying. The owners aren't going to go for it. So you're saying just shorten the first and second round.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Do the WNBA playoff format for the NBA. Get done in
Jordan, do you remember when it was best of five? I mean, you're a young buck. You see, he shakes his head. He doesn't remember when it was best of five. All right. Well, thank you, Raphael. Don't forget your laptop cover.
Cubs swept this weekend. We didn't even talk about that.
Beautiful sweep on my Cubbies.
We have odds on whose coffee cup was on Game of Thrones, so you can go over to mybookie.ag.
There he is. At BSI, Knox Sports, the way to follow him on Twitter. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thank you, Raphael. Looky here. How blessed are we? Sharif Ishak. is here in studio. We'll talk with him about what's going on with LSU baseball, Tulane baseball. What happened this weekend with the local teams? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.